It was Mother's Day yesterday. It was nice to see all the mothers all in one place. I went to a restaurant to celebrate Mother's Day with all kinds of mothers, and it was a room full of mothers. And you know, mothers are great. If it wasn't for mothers, I wouldn't be here. Neither would you. Everybody's got a mother, I think. I don't know how that works otherwise, but I guess there are ways around it. But just to see like a whole restaurant full of mothers, it was overbearing. And they're all very, very nice people, mothers of all sizes and shapes and attitudes and colors and smells and all that. And it was very ingratiating. But then I realized to myself that large groups of people that are all the same kind of people are a bit intimidating. And I just, I kept looking around. All I saw was mothers. And at a point, It was too motherful.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come on, hold on tight. Come on. Come on in.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's,
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, and I am here to entertain you like some type of little puppet on a string for your entertainment. It's entertainment, not entertainment. There's only one requirement. I talk and you be quiet.
Please be quiet.
Please, I'm asking you nicely.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how are you today? First of all, take your shoes off, sit down, be comfortable, take it easy. This is going to be a lot of fun and very informative for you. First of all, you might want to start screaming because, as you may have heard, the end of last week and over the weekend, there was an attack, and there was a cyber attack upon computers, both in companies and at home computers. Some hacking evil thing called the Knights of Columbus or something, or the Shadow Republic. I don't know what the hell it was called. I'm not a news and information show, you know. Can't be expected to know everything. By the way, this is not a news program. It's not a news commentary program. It's not fake news, but I'm not a news reporter, so get off my back. Apparently, some hacking thing found a way to get into people's personal computers, as well as many companies that did not update their security for Microsoft. That included the mighty company of Federal Express was attacked in the United States, cyber-wise. They were shut down by this cyber attack threat, and no one knows where it came from, and they demanded a certain amount of money, otherwise information would be leaked and their computer system would stay down. Similarly, many home computers across the United States witnessed the same thing, where you had to pay a ransom of approximately $300 to get your computer system back. One would say, well, wait a minute, wouldn't you be able to arrest these people wherever the money was sent to? Well, it's not done in that way. It's done in computer coins or something. I have no idea what it's called, but it's not really traceable. It wasn't the United States that was the hardest hit. The United Kingdom was actually hit the hardest, along with dozens and dozens of other countries as well. Fortunately, they were able to reverse that cyber attack, and now the threat is gone. However, that same shadow cyber thing, whatever they call themselves, are threatening to do it more and on a bigger scale at any moment. So now, ladies and gentlemen, not only are we concerned about our physical security, but we are now concerned about the security of our online practices. And may I just remind you, you've got your credit cards in there that you use for purchases. You've got your name, your address, your social security number. I mean, the state actually demands that kind of information online. It's all over the place. It's a big concern. So we're insecure about that. Now that's going to happen. We're insecure about terrorism. We're insecure about North Korea. We're insecure about the Middle East. We're insecure about our own president of the United States wanting to abolish democracy and the Constitution and just be the king, or more so the dictator. So we're under attack, like from inside, outside, all over the place. It's a bit frightening in a sense, and I think we need to realize that. That's about as serious as I'm going to get on this show, because something bothers me of equal importance, not really, and that would be the fact that it's turning to be springtime, and that's when people start dressing differently. Oh no.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Here's a problem with this. When people start dressing for the warmer season, they start undressing for the warmer season. In other words, I don't like the cold of the winter, but what I do like is that people have clothes on, and people look better with clothes on. Now, you may disagree with me. Sure, there's a couple of rampant models walking down the street who look really good with, like, very much not clothes on. I get that, but for the most part, for the major population of this country, they don't look good naked. And that's why they invented lights out. It's because people don't look good naked. Now, on television, they do. And in the movies, they do. Because all the people in the television and the movies are model-like, perfect people. But we're dealing more with people that go to Walmart and McDonald's. That's middle America, who go to Popeye's Chicken. You don't want to see those people without clothes on, I guarantee you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not pleasing to the eye. As a matter of fact, it's unpleasing to the eye. And again, I like the winter because people are dressed in clothes, and clothes make you, they can slim you down, you know, you can wear certain designs, and people can say, look, it's a lovely, lovely outfit you're wearing, and they're actually complimenting you. People don't say, you know, people who are wearing shorts, oh my God, nice legs, because they're not nice legs. Men have hair on their legs, and women have bulges and little wrinkles, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not attractive. And you shouldn't be wearing spandex if you weigh more than 10 pounds. You just shouldn't. Nobody should wear spandex ever for any reason whatsoever. Skinny, skinny people shouldn't wear spandex. Then you look like a number two pencil. Large people shouldn't wear spandex. Then you look like the Michelin tire man. Spandex should be outlawed, along with sugar. I really feel that the both of them go hand in hand and hand in hand. So what I'm saying is, this season, when you start dressing less and you start showing more skin, all I'm saying is, just think of other people when you do that. about what they have to go through when they're looking at you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
To ask. It's not a lot to ask. There's been a lot of rain recently, and that's bringing out mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, mosquitoes everywhere. These are nasty little creatures that actually carry disease. They break your skin, they get into your blood system, and they just have a rollicking good time in there with an inner tube. They are really horrible, and there's zillions of them. Some of them actually carry deadly diseases, and they're not labeled accordingly. If they were different colors, like watch out for the red mosquitoes, they are really dangerous. The rest of them, you know, just are okay. There's no way to, they're not branded. There's no way to distinguish them. They're not wearing signs or anything. And they're very, very small, so you don't kind of know that they're around. Unless they're the big ones and they make kind of like a buzzing noise. But usually, you know, you're drunk, you don't know. So I started doing some research on mosquitoes and found that they are annoying little things. And to swat them is absolutely fine. I won't kill a fly. I will capture a fly inside of a plastic cup and I will walk outside and let the fly go. Because a fly isn't going to do anything to me. The fly, you know, may be annoying to a horse. But I'm not a horse and it's not annoying to me. And flies don't really bite me unless they're black flies in New Hampshire and Maine, in which case I will swat them. But if they don't attack me, I have no reason to go swatting things. I don't swat birds out of the sky. I mean, they do their thing, I do mine, and they're beautiful creatures. Mosquitoes, not really doing much for anybody. I don't think they pollinate. I don't think they do anything for the planet. I don't think they're going to stop climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. I think mosquitoes just really have to go. So I've been doing a lot of reading up on mosquitoes, and here's what I found. If you wear dark colored clothing or bright colored clothing, a mosquito actually sees colors. I don't know how. I guess they watch a lot of movies and are happy that they're in color now. If you're wearing purple or red or black, mosquitoes will go to you because you're noticeable. If you're wearing white or something flesh-colored, they actually may not even see you. You may be invisible to them. Who knew? Who knew mosquitoes even had a brain? And I don't think they do. But somehow, mosquitoes go on sight and they go on smell. And I didn't know they had sight. I did not know that. I thought they were blind. I really didn't know. I never asked them. Never had a conversation with a mosquito. Had a conversation with a lot of people that bugged me, but that's different. Mosquitoes also go on smell. If you're sweating, mosquitoes can actually smell your sweat, and they find that to be attractive. It kind of lures them over. So don't sweat. Seriously, they don't like that. If you haven't bathed in a long time, which is all of my friends, they will go after you because you're emitting an odor. These are just some very, very simple things. People with apparently certain blood types are bitten more by mosquitoes than other people. If your blood type is type O, and I don't know how you know that, it might be on your license, I'm not sure, I haven't looked at my license in a long time. If you're type O, then there's a possibility that you might be bitten more. Read up on that. They have this Google thing. Check it out before the cyber attack people take all the computer systems down, so check it out rather soon if you would. Mosquitoes, they're awful. And they cause itching, and I don't like itching.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hey, watch out for storms, man. The summer brings a lot of storms. Not so much hurricanes, but tornadoes, sure. I mean, it gets pretty, pretty hairy. So I thought I'd ask a guy named Harry, actually his name is Art Aiello, and to talk about being prepared for storms. As we get into the climate change thing, there's a lot more possibility of more severe storms. Let's speak to him now.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hi, Art. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Great. We're talking about hurricane awareness, and is it hurricane season already?
It is almost hurricane season. Okay. Next week is Hurricane Preparedness Week. Hurricane season doesn't start until June 1st.
All right. Well, that's okay. That's soon. That's soon.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Is it true in your scientific knowledge that storms may be becoming a bit more intense than they were before?
Yes. We have noticed over the past several years that if not, you know, if not their frequency, certainly their intensity. And I think that the important thing to remember is that sometimes that intensity can catch us off guard. With regard to hurricane season, if you consider that 2016 was predicted to be an average to below average season until Hurricane Matthew came along and kind of surprised everyone, I think that's one of the reasons why we are encouraging people to prepare early, because the storm intensity is something that is unpredictable, as well as much as the storms themselves.
Yeah.
And in the case of something as big as a hurricane, at most you have 72 hours to prepare, and that can cause a mad rush to the local stores to get everything from generators to groceries. It's important that you prepare when you are not in panic mode, that you prepare when you have the opportunity to think out, think things through, and know exactly what it is that you need to be safe and to be able to shelter in place during a severe storm.
Well, let's talk about some of that preparedness. Let's get right to the meat of it. What should we be doing other than the obvious of what we learned our whole lives, like get some, you know, some goods there, some water and some canned things, and what else though?
Well, really, let me just address that really quickly.
Yeah.
In terms of the food and water that you mentioned. Most governmental agencies, emergency preparedness experts, recommend at least 3 days worth of food and water, and, you know, canned goods, non-perishables. Make sure that you're also thinking about your pets.
Yeah.
A lot of people tend to forget about them, so pet food is important. Medication, particularly as the country gets older, is really important to think about, not just over-the-counter medication, but prescription medication as well.
Absolutely.
And then in terms of an emergency preparedness kit and a plan, you know, an emergency kit is really something pretty easy to pull together. You know, we're talking about including things like flashlights with fresh batteries, extra clothing, extra blankets, contact numbers to be able to stay in touch with friends and family, as well as local authorities if you need to get updates or things like that. Things like a first aid kit, matches, those are the types of things that you should pull together and have in one place, either on the main floor of your home or on a second floor of your home in the event of a storm surge or flooding, to make sure that those things stay safe and dry.
Okay.
And then, of course, backup power system.
Yeah.
That, you know, something that will help you not only keep the lights on, but keep your major appliances running, if not your entire home, so that it's that much more comfortable for you to shelter in place.
You know why that's so important, which I realized? In my home, I have a sump pump in the basement. And when there's flooding and storms, what if my electric goes out and the sump pump doesn't work, doesn't go off as it should, which is like almost continual when there's a lot of rain? And that's in the back of my mind all the time. Like, that's like pretty important.
You know, that is how many people get introduced to backup power.
Mm-hmm.
The sump pump is an incredibly important appliance just simply because of the damage it can do in your basement.
Yeah.
And not just the things that you're storing, but also structural damage that can be done to your home.
Yeah.
So many people first invest in a generator, and in many cases a portable generator, simply to keep that sump pump running. And then once they see the value of having power, They often will upgrade to some sort of a permanently installed automatic home standby generator, because a portable generator has its challenges in that it has to be operated manually, it has to be refueled manually, whereas an automatic home standby generator simply operates. It senses power outage, it turns on, it delivers power, and then it, you know, when utility power returns, it turns back off. So I'm glad that you brought up the sump pump, because that is how many people get introduced to the concept of backup power.
Well, what does the backup power run on? Is it stored energy?
Well, a portable generator will run on gasoline.
Right, I know.
So just like a portable generator, I mean, it has an engine just like you're familiar with a lawnmower.
Right.
And so it'll run on gasoline, but a permanently installed home standby generator runs either on natural gas or your home's propane fuel supply. And the natural gas infrastructure is actually pretty robust. Typically the things that knock out power don't knock out natural gas. I'll give you an example. Hurricane Sandy, we actually had customers contacting us saying that their generators were running for 18 days or more.
Wow.
And, the fuel just continues to be delivered to them. Our only advice to them was to occasionally turn it off and make sure that there is oil in the engine to keep that engine running. But those generators are designed to run indefinitely until utility power returns.
Well, what's the general cost of that an installation to a gas system?
It varies by location, but typically what you're looking at, you're looking at a portable generator costing several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a home standby generator costing several thousand dollars. And it is something that you do have to, it's not a do-it-yourself project.
Right.
It is something that you have to hire a professional to do simply because you are connecting it to your home's electrical supply. There are codes and safety issues that need to be addressed. We view it as the same way you would view an insurance policy. It's there when you need it, and we have found that many people who start off with a portable generator say, you know, that worked out really well, but I just want something that's going to operate whether I'm at home or away.
Right.
And so they will tend to upgrade to that.
Interesting. Where do I get more information on this? Because we don't have hours to talk, and I could talk to you for hours about this, but I guess I can't. So, so what do we do?
Well, certainly our company's website, www.generac.com, not only has information about the variety of backup power systems that are available to you, but also a lot of storm preparedness tips, whether they be hurricanes. Certainly in your neck of the woods, there are winter storms to consider.
Sure.
There's information about how to prepare and how to keep your family safe.
Yeah. It's kind of like an insurance policy where, like, people actually have to have home insurance in the state that I live in. It's mandatory if you have a mortgage. This is kind of the same thing, isn't it? It's like insurance for your home to have something operate in case of emergency.
Absolutely, it is. And speaking of insurance, you know, there are, it may be that if you do invest in a home standby generator, you might actually get some sort of a credit or a break from your home insurance company to be able to, put that in.
Good point. Hey, thank you so much for all the information today.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the time to tell you about it.
Pleasure speaking to you.
You too. Thank you. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I'm prepared now. I just made myself a sandwich, and if there's a storm, I'm going to eat a sandwich. I'm prepared. Hey, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday, unless it's a holiday, then probably not. Otherwise, you can count on me. So jump on my back, why don't you? Follow me. Not stalkingly, but, you know, just it's a term that they use. You can go to New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's the Facebook page. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. And there you can follow me. Pretty soon that site will have all kinds of pictures of me and people that aren't me. And I will also do things on it that I don't do other places, which means I will be doing nothing on it whatsoever. That doesn't make any sense to me either, so just do it and be quiet. Thank you. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show what it is. The music you're listening to, composed and performed by Jason Shaw, who also does our opening theme. He's a good man. Also, John Shanahan is our opening announcer, does the comedy commercials and what they call the bumps. And he's incredibly talented. Thank you so much for coming over to my side, Johnny. And so many other people that participate in this program. It's not just me. A lot of it is, but it's not just me. You know, besides all the fine entertainment which I put forth in front of your face, I know there are a lot of people concerned about the horoscopes because they can't do a damn thing all day without knowing what the future holds. That is a service that we provide for absolutely free, no money whatsoever. And it goes a little something like this.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity, but then I think I hear them giggling to each other, so maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD and get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer, when Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison. Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? Douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
Oh, that is so soothing. You know, I'm very concerned about veterans' affairs. I think when you're a veteran, you really should stick with your wife and not screw around on the side, and vice versa. But that's not what I'm talking about, really. When you're a veteran, you come back from serving our country, you really should be able to meld back into society, because society owes that to you for what you've done, willingly or unwillingly. I think it's a sorry state of affairs that those that serve the country come back to this country and then they're lost and feel like they're behind the times and can't get a job. And I don't get that at all. So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about their health care, because if you're trained to act in war, then you're trained differently than other of us, and you deal with more stuff that you've seen that most of us haven't seen before, that really we don't ever want to see, but you did. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I thought we'd discuss that today.
Hello, this is David Atkins.
David, how are you today? This is Dr. David Atkins, actually. He is, and then you have a lot of letters after your name as well. You must do a lot of things. He's the VA Acting Deputy Chief Research and Development Officer. We're talking about improving healthcare for veterans. Are improvements being made continually?
Yeah, Ron, it's great to talk with you, especially knowing you're in the Boston area, because we have a lot of great research actually going on in your area at the Boston VA healthcare system, Bedford VA, and many other of the VA medical centers in New England. We've actually been doing research in the VA since the 1920s, when we started dealing with veterans coming home from World War One, and we continue to grow the program. We now have a research budget that's over $600 million going to try to help discover better ways of treating our veterans and the conditions that they have, everything from post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injury, getting better prostheses for veterans who've lost an arm or a leg, and dealing with all the problems that veterans get as they age, from diabetes and heart disease to Alzheimer's disease.
It's an ongoing situation. It's not just you do the research and then it's done and you act accordingly. I mean, it's continual. It's like painting a house. As soon as you finish putting the coat on, it's time to put another coat on.
Yeah, and we like to use the term a learning healthcare system, which is exactly that sort of cycle where you do the research, you try to get the new treatments into practice, and then you learn from that experience that how to further improve the treatments. We also have the issue that the challenges facing veterans change over time. The veterans who came back are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. The problems of traumatic brain injury caused by being exposed to a roadside explosion has really a new problem. It had occurred in other wars, but it was particularly a problem in the VA, and we're just understanding all the complicated things that go on when you're exposed to a big blast and how your brain recovers from that.
I guess one of the research developments, as far as myself as a layperson is concerned, are the mental reactions and what you live with psychologically. I know that's always been a problem, but it seems to be more recognized now in a different fashion.
Sure. You're exactly right. And I mean, the good news is that most of our veterans cope with the stress of fighting in battle quite well, and they are amazingly resilient. But certainly, as everyone knows, there are some veterans who really have problems that can persist for a very long time. And I think these are things that have really gone back every military person who's gone through a war back to the Civil War has recognized the terrible psychological toll that war can take on people. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly paying more attention to it. We've gotten better at both recognizing it. The VA does a very good job of, and the military as active duty troops are disenrolled, does a very good job of screening for these problems. But we really pay a lot of attention to getting veterans into care. That is remains one of the problem is that many patients are reluctant to seek care because they think it's there's a stigma attached to it.
Right.
And so we're working hard to make sure anybody who's having problems is is getting care because we do have effective treatments for it.
Yeah. David, isn't it, it's kind of all about fitting back into society. Here are people that, that risk a portion of their lives and their youth usually in defending the country or serving it. And then you come back to society in the country and all of a sudden it's not like you just walk back in and you take over where you were before or you get this big boost. It's a matter of now fitting into something that you were removed from or decided to be removed from. And that's not only psychological, but that's social as well.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And in some ways, it may be harder for this current generation of veterans than it was for my dad, who was a Marine Corps officer in the Pacific in World War II.
I agree.
You know, when he came back, almost everybody that in the society he came back to had some connection to the war effort.
Right.
If they hadn't been in the military, their children or their parents had been in the military. Whereas now, you know, it's a smaller and smaller proportion of our population that is off doing the fighting. And so when they come back, you know, we have a very good VA program to provide education benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're a veteran going off to college campus, you may not
it's true.
Feel like you fit in.
It's true.
And we have some very exciting sort of programs to try to link veterans to peers in on college campuses, ways to use literature and writing to talk about their experiences. We've partnered with the Henry Jackson Foundation to do a big study of different programs that support what's called that transition from active duty life to civilian life.
Great. Yeah, I did an interview a few months ago on this subject matter with a veteran, and he was very candid and said, I appreciate people coming up to me and saying thank you for your service, but then they figure that that's all they really need to do or really, you know, it's more the proper thing to do. What he really needed was more involvement from society to actually take him in and let him show himself and his abilities as opposed to simply being thanked. And I thought that was a very brave thing to say.
Yeah, and you may have noticed there's been some quite good literature coming out of the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah. A number of people who've served turn out to be quite powerful writers.
Yes.
Writing about their experience.
Right. Okay. Where do we get more information?
We have a great website at www.research.va.gov. Mm-hmm. It has information on our research. It's got videos of some of our breakthrough technologies. You can see a veteran who's paralyzed from the neck down, standing up and walking thanks to a robotic exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure to give a shout out to all the veterans in Massachusetts. Because we wouldn't be able to do any of this research without veterans and their amazing willingness to give back to their fellow veterans by participating in research.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure speaking to you and getting out the message that this isn't an ongoing situation and that the research is constantly being done and things are always being concocted and thought of to make our veterans more comfortable. Good.
Thanks, Ron, and I hope some people will, if they live near a VA facility, will look during the week of May 15th that we're putting on programs at many of our VAs to celebrate research and take a comment here, a very interesting session with veterans talking about the research that's going on.
Excellent. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Well, that's it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you to my guests, and thank you to you for listening. Until then, I wish you peace.